What's good, y'all? For first-time listeners, welcome to the Words Matter Pod with Akil Pinnock. And for those who've tuned in before, welcome back. Historically, I release episodes exclusively on Mondays, but this week was a little different, and I'm sorry for the delay. I spent the weekend in Coachella Valley for my very first Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival with my girlfriend and her friends. You know, I had to have a little fun, too. You know, everything's not about podcasting. I hope y'all understand. And I feel like y'all would understand. Especially my consistent supporters. Y'all know how hard I work to make these interviews happen. I'm booking as many guests as possible so I can have several interviews weeks ahead. I'm setting up all my equipment, editing audio, writing episode descriptions, as well as a long list of many other things. But thank you for your patience if you've been waiting. We almost didn't even make it into the festival. It took us until the last day of the festival this past Sunday. To get in, but we got in by the skin of our teeth. So special shout out to my girl for being persistent per usual. Brandon, Brianne, Brian for holding us down. Saw a lot of interesting things, to say the least, this past weekend. And yes, I was present for that Frank Ocean performance. I don't even know if that's what we should even call it, but that's for a different podcast. After going to these different events outside of the festival, I was telling everyone I was with that it felt like someone picked me up and dropped me inside of Instagram. But like I said, I had a great time and I definitely will be in attendance again. And I'm speaking it into existence. I know manifesting is a big buzzword right now, but it's real. The Words Matter Pod with Akil Pinnock will be in attendance at Coachella interviewing artists. Remember, I said it here first. Now, it's only right that the longest Words Matter Pod episode thus far is a reflection of my Jamaican roots. Today's episode features reggae artist Black Hero, who at the 65th Grammy Awards was nominated for the Best Global Music Performance for his feature on Ghanaian artist Rocky Dewani's Never Bow Down. In part one of the almost 2.5 hour interview, Black Hero speaks about his musical beginnings in church, leaving music as a teen to then come back to it in an unlikely setting, the unglamorous parts of being a recording artist, having respect for the music, and much more. Stay tuned for part two of today's episode next week. Rate, comment, and subscribe. Welcome to the Words Matter Pod with Akil Pinnock, a podcast dedicated to storytellers. I'm here with Grammy-nominated reggae and dancehall artist Black Hero, who on March 31st released the single Celebration and It Not Easy. Hero is from Jamaica, but based here in Los Angeles, where his label Delicious Vinyl is located. Yeah. Who are you?
First of all, mommy always raised me with manners to everyone listening. Bless up, hope you're all right. Hope everybody's good. Well, you kind of give them a nice summary. Just to add more context, I'm a young man from Waterford, to be exact, in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. That's where Vibes Cartel is from. So that should kind of give an idea of like, how I was raised, like
Portmore,
kind of energy Portmore, yeah. My parents are Christians, and I was raised in a Christian household, so that all of that kind of shaped me. Where I'm from, the people that raised me, like it raised me to be like a freedom fighter, to be like an outspoken person, and then just transitioned all of that to music,
yeah,
and it becoming the vehicle for all of that instead of just this wild rebellious energy, like I just put it through the music, and then that's how I became a singer, songwriter, and a producer, yeah. And just overall, just whatever has to do with creating vibrations, I want to do it.
Yeah.
So that's me overall. Just music is the vehicle for the love I'm trying to spread. You know what I mean? Yeah.
The rebel with a cause, not without a cause.
I like when people say that, but I always try to stay away from that because sometimes it, even recently, I was speaking to like one of my teammates. It's like you never know the cause.
Yeah,
we are all attached to ideas and like the idea of, yo, I'm gonna put this out and this is gonna happen, mm-hmm. and that's gonna happen. And when you're really in it, you start to realize that there's a higher force.
Yeah, there.
So you'll never really truly know the cause, but you know that you have this gut feeling that you should stand for this, you should mm-hmm. fight against this, you should propel this and embrace this. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Like in this time, I feel like love, I should just embrace it. I feel like we should just get rid of war and violence. Mm-hmm. So I just push that away. So that, I'm just a rebel, and then the cause is, I guess, what God puts in play, you know?
Yeah. I get that. I forgot to ask, you know, how are you? You know, I usually start off with that, but how are you today?
I could just tell you what, you know, everybody would say is like, yo, I'm good, you know, life is good, I'm progressing, I'm nominated, you know, but today specifically is a very, very, it's one of the harder days for me. You know what I mean? People really, really see the glamorous side of this and, you know, touring and every, like my whole country is looking at me like, yo, you live the dream, yo.
Yeah.
You make it, you know, you smoke with Paul McCartney, all these things, like, cool, but there are days when I get up and I genuinely just don't know,
yeah,
bro. Like, I just don't have a single clue. And I'll just text the people closest to me like, yo, I need help. I have these thoughts and I feel like I'm drowning. So that's, I felt like that earlier today. Like, I just felt like I was drowning a bit. And not drowning in the things I should be, like the good things. I was drowning myself in pressure and like, thoughts of like, yo, is this really about to happen? Like, what's going on? Like, so today, I wasn't feeling my best, bro, if you want to be honest. But remembering that once again, I'm doing something I love by like you coming here and like we're doing a podcast, it automatically like, put me back in that vibe. Like, oh, this is the dream, bro. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm feeling great now. So it's, as you can see, the day can, it can go between feeling not so good and feeling amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm glad I could, you know, come here and uplift your spirits a little bit. You know, a lot of artists
hate. Up in a fly orange like shirt. Yeah, it changed my mood.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, a lot of artists kind of have some, you know, weird feelings about the media and speaking to interviewers and journalists. But, you know, it's nice to hear that, you know, I could provide that for you. You know, those days that you're going through, everybody goes through those days, not, you know, to like minimize what you're experiencing, but, you know, I understand that definitely, you know. So could you like maybe like get into that, you know, like the non-glamorous parts of being an artist?
All right. So, you know, especially because we live in this social media time, everything, we're being fed a lot of wokeness. Like, it's just, and it's not bad. It's just, like, so much information to download. Mm-hmm. So we all know the quotes and the proverbs and the speeches. Like, don't have ego, you know, if you have too much pride.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something, bro. Being completely stripped of all ego and pride and being humbled consistently is probably one of the most grueling things I've ever been through.
Yeah.
My entire life. Because you're not, when them say, yeah, man, you know, if you have ego, how are you stripped of it?
Yeah.
God places you in situations where you can't even find a shred of it. How do you get rid of pride? God puts you in a situation where you have to ask for help.
Yeah.
So the non-glamorous side is the personal bar. It's like if it's a game and like it's, you're using a character and there's two bars. One bar everybody sees. That's the bar you max out and you post on Instagram and you celebrate and everybody likes it and them love it and that, you know what I mean? That's the success bar. And then there's that personal bar that nobody sees that you are working
at. Yeah.
So that's the non-glamorous side where your personal life, you're going through that alone, whether it's relationships, whether it's, you know, your parents, whether it's life, whether it's figuring out finances, whether it's figuring out your diet, exercising, learning, unlearning. Like, that's the non-glamorous side. That's the part we don't put in music videos.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Back to what you said about social media, you know, where, you know, so much wokeness, you know, so much information overload. You know, it's so easy to just share a quote that promotes, like, betterment of self, but to actually put those things into action, that's the grueling part.
That's that you're talking about. I don't put anything in music that I've not experienced. I can't I can't tell you what to experience if I haven't, what it's the outcome was. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't there. So I try not to do that copy and paste thing. So when I say it, that's why when I realize when I say it or put it in a caption, people really have to DM me and be like, yo, that's so powerful. I'm like, yo, because it's real. Like, how are you, like, I literally said it to somebody, like, how are you going to get rid of your pride if you've never asked somebody for even, like, help?
Yeah.
And that made them go, like, oh, damn, I'm not not getting any help because I never asked for help. You know what I mean? So just simple things like that.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're a person, you're a public figure. So pride is and ego is like a major component in that life, you know, because you get so much attention.
They literally teach you like that's how you're like, even when I look at it from just my genre and my culture, Jamaica, the most polarizing, the most successful, the superstars are the ones with the most ego.
Yeah.
Are the ones with the more hype, you know? So you almost are trained in a way to become that. So yeah, that's why I have to big up God, because I've asked for one thing, guidance and protection. When I pray, I only ask for one thing, guidance and protection.
Yeah.
So with his guidance, I just feel like I'm at a point now where like nothing can really like shake me to the core of me, like, because yo, okay, it's life, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I get that. Going back to your upbringing, where you're from, in Waterford and Portmore, what was it like growing up over there? You know, what was your childhood like?
It was fun. You know, it was like, you know, when you grow up in a community, you go connect with the youth them from your community too, and you play football after school, and mother come around there for come beat your car, you come home late, and you bust up your school pants because you're playing at the school uniform, or you know, fair playing. And, you know, it was just, looking back, it's just fun. There was no care in the world, bro. So ride a bicycle, ride a plane, on the scooter. And, you know, my childhood was like, it's a bit different. And I didn't know until I, like, my dad at age I know, because it's like all of my male, like my virgin them, like my closest friend them, and my best friend them as youths. Like, I'm the only one that had, like, my mother and my father in the same old,
yeah,
for 30 years. And I saw that. Like, so it changed me. Like, it made me just completely different from every other Jamaican youth. Like, I don't know if I explain it. Like,
yeah.
I've never hit a woman because of certain things I'm a simmer, just can't. You only replicate what you see, isn't it?
Yeah.
For say, a loving relationship between a black man and a black woman was like, I never knew it was so important.
You thought it was just normal. You thought everybody's life was like that.
My auntie said, oh, this is everybody's life. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean? So, thinking back, I think my childhood was like so perfect, bro. Like,
yeah.
And it wasn't money or nothing like that, because it was like, you know, ghetto. But my mother and my father just always a smile. And
mm-hmm.
So I'm always a happy regardless. Yeah. Like, and them always make do with what them have, like, if we're not on a soap, my mother would have like, make a soap. I'm like, how do you make a soap? Like, you know? No, which plant would have sewed up or,
wow,
you know? Or like, if we're not on the toothpaste or something, she'd have just like, get baking soda or something.
And peroxide.
And you know the style. You see me, like, if you're not on a roll on, she get the lime, cut it in the office, so rub the paint, and I say, oh, that's not gonna stink. Yeah, I say, no. And I say, boom. Yeah, smell good, you know. Smell lemony fresh. So it's like, it was perfect, bro. It teach me all of the life lessons of the need for surviving that crazy world. Yeah, Waterford was a good balance. You know, you have the crazy times,
mm-hmm.
war, violence, it's everywhere, but love the day in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I get that. You know, what are some of the things that you did? You know, you talk about riding your bike and, you know, childhood things, childlike things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what are the things that you did, like, that led you in the direction of music? Like, what are some of your early musical memories?
I think the earliest one was because my father was, like, a deacon or, like, what I'm gonna call a pastor, I guess. We go to church, like, every day. So, for me, it was annoying. Like, I have so much questions that I couldn't answer. So, it's like, is either I'm gonna go and find something to do, we're gonna keep me in there,
mm-hmm.
or when I go, I'm gonna end up like the other youth. Then when we see, we'll just come church, school church, we'll just do some wild shit. So we just end up falling in love with the drums. So from me, like six, seven, we used to just sit on, even earlier than that, like five, like sitting in front of just them always save my seat in front of the drum. Come, I always watch the drums. And then one day I say, if you love the drum, you can go. And I'm going to start playing the conga them. And then I end up joining the band. And then I end up, I play the drum at church every Sunday. And Men up a sing pan the choir. So them like a thing that me never intentionally do it because me there intentionally want the music.
Yeah.
Me do it just because, yo, if me there, me need to find something for occupy my time or me gonna get in trouble. So me there pray. So me just, and that like plant a seed in my mind, cause it's a computer, you know, so it just a save another hard drive without me know. Then me there at school, you know what I mean? Like, me never there really connected most of them subject there. Like, me could have studied the book them myself. Me never leave in a class. So, me end up, like, in a Jamaica, we call it sculling, but me end up skip every class. Skull every class except maths, English, and, like, bio and IT.
Yeah.
Because I have the book. I don't really need the teacher. So, once again, if I get in a trouble at school, because I find it interesting, I end up start, like, powering the football of them. You know, end up start powering like the cool, like what would I call in America, the cool kids?
Yeah. And popular just end kids. Up
be the youth where I play the music.
Mm-hmm.
I always have the new song them. Always I used to play rhythms on the desk with pens.
Yeah.
And you know,
everybody's experience is like that. No matter. Yeah. I don't know about Europe, but I know like in America, you know, like black communities, yeah, banging on the table and
somebody at these, yeah, rap, yeah. I just some do it. So them thing that just left, I guess, a real impact on me. That when it was time like for music come around to me again, when we become older, it's like, oh, this makes sense. Everything that's comfortable, everything that's stage, going on stage for the first time was like, oh, I feel like I do this already. I'm being on stage at the church with the, you know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, them thing.
Yeah. You it's like you found something that you loved in a place that you kind of dreaded going to on a regular basis. Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't even know I love it.
Yeah.
Just I do it. Yeah. Because it's interesting. It was just interesting. Mm-hmm. As I say, a dreadful place, that was what was interesting. Yeah. I try to find the interesting things in anywhere my day.
Yeah. Mm. Even if it's something that you don't even like overall or you just don't even understand fully.
Yeah, but just know under somewhere I'm bored. Yeah, so like if I'm there and them think like them equipment that we set up there, I'm gonna just have to just figure out how them work.
Mm-hmm.
Come just can't just there. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I explain it, but
But you know, you are mostly a vocalist, right?
Yeah. I'm the front man.
Yeah. So how do you make that transition from playing on the drums to being, you know, the front man?
It wasn't really a transition because at church, it was just, it wasn't a career. You know what I mean? It wasn't a hobby. It was just past the time. At church, I just want just there. Never, ever, ever thought of music ever again after becoming a teenager and stopped going to church with my parents, them on like 13, 14 going on. Like, I've never thought of music ever. End up leave and go. Started working early. Cause you know, my mother, that's her dream. She didn't want me to work at one bank and, you know, wear the jacket them and the tie them and she can't tell her friend them and, you know. So she manifests that literally. So I'm start work at the bank at that early age. And then they just work as like an intern and
at the bank?
Yeah, at the bank. Somebody work at this bank name. I don't want to call the bank name, but one bank in Jamaica, and it's a major bank. And I work there, and I work for managers, so it's not even like a regular work. I work under managers. I do whatever, make for them life easier, basically. I do so well at that, even they broke records and thing, them just end up giving me a permanent job in the sense of, yo, all right, we're going to give you a contract now.
Yeah.
So it's like, I did it for 2 years at a time now. So it's like, oh, okay.
You're like a math guy, right? Because you say you used to...
Not really a math guy, but I just never scold maths because them tell me say it's super important to pass the school. I just never want to do over school. My life, bro, is like, yo, I'm only doing this school thing once. I'm not doing it again. I'm not go back for the summer school. I'm not go back for the extra... No, once. So I just pass maths for just make sure I say, yeah, pass maths. But when my dad placed... That job they show me say school kind of irrelevant outside of socializing and figuring out your skill sets and who you are, because nothing when I learn at school I never use at the bank. I guess about English.
Yeah. Yeah, it's mostly paperwork.
Because they have
stuff.
A program for everything. Yeah. And yeah. It was already a technological world, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? So it never meant no, it never added. But anyways, they had a bank and they did a fair bit now on work. And already there, I lose motivation because I can't stay somewhere and not be interested. Yeah. Like, I start maths out everything. So it's like, all right, I get bored. And you're young. Like, now me like 18. I start at 16. I work then now me 18. Now I see monotonous every day. I go in, mm-hmm. I go in. All right, cool. Then I youth. Them employ this youth now to do the same thing what we do. Because now them bring we up more and I employ people to do what we do. And the youth was a producer.
Yeah.
And that one meeting there, just meeting him at the workplace, him telling me, yo, you know, someone make beats. I'm going to say, eh? I'm going to say, I used to play a drum on them thing then. And I'm going to say, eh, cool. But me and him have a cool, just a cool chemistry from the first day. I don't even like people like that, bro. Like, in terms of, like, for share my life with.
And you didn't even really speak about music with him, no, but really, yeah.
Just, like, people just, always I listen music.
Mm-hmm.
I always have headphones, always. So it's like, him just assume, say, I like music. So I'm like, I hear some of them beats. And end up get so cool and him, man. Go back to him crib, because they live close to the bank. Go back to him yard, meet him family. They are chill. They have him sister, them everything, and just a bill. And I play the beat. And the first time I really, like, since high school, I smoke like weed. The first time I start back smoke weed again around him. So, but then they know and smoke the weed, and then I just start freestyle. Right out of the blue, like, just random. Because we just have our vibes. And I'm going to say, people come from him neighbor start come up from next day. I see people I come from across the road. I see people I come from down the road. I see the man I play the domino, start play the domino and come in and buy it. By the time I really look, after like 10 minutes, 15 minutes of freestyling, it's a crowd there in the MP yard. I'm everybody's excited. I mean, I pray it has not, you know.
Yeah.
And then after him, I say, yo, you never pray for the music yet? I say, no, man. I say, fuck, you freestyle. I say, yeah. Man say, no, man, you forgot to pray it, you know. And then yeah, so just foolish to say that, and then really start preaching. And then him met me, him give me a deal. Him say, yo, I gonna pay for your first studio session. I bring him to the studio. If you don't like, oh yes, if you don't like nothing about it after, don't do it.
Yeah.
I'm say, all right, book the session. And I swear to God, as me hear back my voice through the mic, like we record it, I'm hear it back through the headphone and through the speaker. I say, yo. Interesting. I'm gonna just pull something out of my brain. I couldn't feel it. I never understand how music work before that.
Yeah.
I wonder how that, how, like how it real, how it become real. Oh, this shit come from my brain, come through my mouth, and go into this device, and then a magic.
Yeah.
Like, I got that video thing. So, man, so I didn't need, I just get interested. And just
you needed to see the steps.
Yeah. I need to figure this out fully, and that just was the beginning of Black Hero for sure.
Yeah. You know, I was just about to ask. You know, was there a turning point that led you to become the person that you are now? But you just, you know, explained it.
That was the beginning point, the real turning point to even where I got the name and everything. So after me and the youth, now cool and everything, we'll get money. Pull together, me, him, and my next producer, Bridget, who just move out of our parents' house. At the time, my parents said, give me a little fight, because they never understand me. I grow my ear, me, I smoke, him stink of weed, me, but me, I work. But I say, yo, yeah, come in so later. When I come, I go, studio, me, work, but what me, I do.
But they thought you were doing something bad?
Because at the time, she did close with Vibes Cartel, mother. So it's like, she can think, but when she able
your
music,
mom.
Yeah, it's Vibes Cartel. And at the time, you know, the whole country, as youth will love him, but the whole country just there see him as a negative force.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So she just scared. When she heard the word music, she'll say, yo, the way, oh, if he mother talk, I don't want anything like that. Crime and violence and blah, blah, blah. And I say, all right, cool. I'm never anybody that share with them like that. So I'm going to say, here, mommy, you're not giving a key. Yeah, lock the gate. Come in late at night. Yeah, try to teach me a lesson. All right. Move out. No furniture. No nothing. Just move out with my bridge in them. Let's go. Live. So my daddy know one year passed, 2 years passed, and things are going, you know, the music are going, but by the time they know, get fired from job.
Yeah.
That completely lose interest. So I start going anytime if you like. So then I say, oh my God, so much potential, but we're going to have to. So yeah, man, good. I don't believe some music I got bust tomorrow. Yeah. You know, like the next year. This is all 2013. You know. Yeah. So my thing say
10 years ago.
So my thing say this is gonna be like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Cause now we reach the end of the year. December is almost like December. So I about to become 2014. Man, say yeah, man. Next week me a bust them. Can fire me. Me have a little money now. But charge a youth. Like me never know money could have done so fast. Like in a space of like 2 weeks. 2-3 weeks, food, bill, grocery, boof, money done. And I said, wow. I'm a dead and all up on my face. But now I have the NCB jacket again. I have the NCB credit card. I have the bank. I'll call them name, Chuck. Thank you. I have the bank credit card no more. I have the clout. Girl, them start disappear. Friend, them start.
You had a car?
Back. No.
Oh, okay.
I have a phobia against cars. But we talk about next time. Everybody just start turning back on me. In the same house where we live, me that buy groceries for months. Me I take out groceries when a man stop, because me not have it now. So, me only have enough for pay rent. I barely. Me I take out food out of the groceries now. And I'm going to look at me and say, yo, you know, contribute to the groceries now. You can't eat the food. So, you know, that bring me to a level of despair. Like, so I'm going to my room. Sit down, I'm just start crying. I'm feel like I'm gonna give up. And then a voice just say, yo, stop crying, yo. You want a hero. And at the time, they consume so much, like, just black information. I said, no, me's not a hero. Me's a black hero.
Yeah.
That's how it start. Mm-hmm. That one moment, they are just trying to eat while I'm like a bun.
Yeah.
With some butter. And drink some orange juice.
That's all you had.
And mama look. It's not even my virgin said, I'm girl. But you know it go. A pillow talk. Him tell if he said that. So when you said that to me, I said, damn. Yeah, man, she inspired Black Hero, man. Swear. But that was the bird. It's like, yeah, that voice there. And move out of the house and just go through a whole life.
Yeah. But you needed that.
Yeah, for sure. I did. And as I said, once again, never know me need that. So go back down to again to a cause. Isn't it? Never book. The Black Hero, the rebel Black Hero never happened because there was a cause. It's a cause happened.
Yeah.
But make me become a hero. So that's why I'm always playing around with that phrase. Yeah. Like, it's true, but some of us, sometimes, there's something have to happen.
Yeah.
For us to become the rebel. Yeah.
Why is Black Hero spelled the way it is? You know, it's stylized instead of like BLACKHERO. It's stylized like the V is replacing the A.
Yeah.
And then the three is replacing the E.
All right. So that's my language and that's my magic in a sense. So the whole structure of it was based off two things. The first thing is when we initially type in Black Hero, I would never come up because you'd say, you know, Marcus Garvey.
There's so many Black Heroes.
There's so many. Like you're just not going to find me. And then the next thing was, that was the first thing that put me in a space. Like, all right, how am I going to do this? There's so many ways I could have spelled it, but would I make it easier? But I was like, your mom be so unique that if you listen to me, if you find me, that means you're definitely listening to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you have to take the time for knowing what it is and how it. So I sat down and I was like, yo, I need to construct my own language for this name. So I take out the C, out of the block. Use the V, because at that time, our generation just did. I use that the inverted V for the A.
Like ASAP Rocky, like back in the day.
And I said, all right, I like how that look. I'm going to say, everything in my life happened in trees. I bump on the third day. Everything in my life happened on the number three. So I'm going to say, you know what? Turn on the E. And then I look upon it and I was like, I just did love how it look. It just look cool. Like, I was like, yo, what is this?
Yeah.
Whenever I think about marketing or like, if it's like an easy for fire. Just like, though, this just look like a brand new. It just felt like an anomaly. Like, when you see the word Neo, like, that's the one. Like, N-E-O is O-N-E. It's one, it's literally an infinite.
Yeah.
how it's spelled, if he really meds it. It's it where it
you ends, know, I never thought about that.
Where it ends, it starts.
Yeah.
So I looked at it and like, that is the most unique name. There's like a glitch in the system for real. So I was like, Blackira. And the way how it's spelled, this spell all kind of, because it's not like I was specifically saying to, yeah, I'm going to represent my culture, my race, my community. But I never wanted specifically just be like, nobody else can listen to music, you know what I mean? So the spelling of it to make it have more like a anime superhero kind of vibe too.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. And then that's another thing that's big in our generation too, anime. So yeah.
That's today's Saturday. So
yeah.
I'm about to go watch it right after this. that's my thing, bro. Yes, anime is my shit.
You know, you said you grew up Christian, your parents or your mom's Christian, you're in church every day. You know, gospel music and hymns and stuff like that, but you're a reggae artist.
Yeah.
And what were they listening to in the house that might have influenced your musical taste? Or did it?
There was a big influence. My mom was a singer in the choir, so she loved music. And she was Christian, so it would be mainly gospel music, but she had this one CD, or these stack of CDs, and this one was had like the greatest hits of Michael Jackson. And I was always playing all those CDs. So you'd have Lionel Richie, you'd have like Anita Baker, you'd have Kirk Franklin, you'd have Fred Hammond, you'd have like all those gospel artists. Yeah,
Fred Hammond is Jamaican. A lot of people don't know that.
Wow, I didn't even
know. His dad is Jamaican. Yeah,
I did not know that. Wow, that's crazy. Learn something every day.
But yeah, that was, yeah, sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's, I like learning shit that I was like, all right, cool. I forgot to learn, I forgot to research, I need to know where I live and where I come from in Jamaica. But Yolanda Adams, all kind of reggae, gospel artists, but then she didn't have no reggae, bro. I'm telling you that straight, no reggae artists in that list. But Michael Jackson was there and every other CD scratched. But the Michael Jackson
CD. Yeah.
So I was just stuck with it. So I had a little thing, the CD, the Walkman where they put the CD in. Every day, Michael Jackson. Every day. And Akon. The Akon CD wasn't scratched. So every day I would listen to Akon. And when that get boring, Michael Jackson. So it's either between Locked Up, Don't Let Me On, and and so that influence plus the steady gospel music that she just play when she's cooking or cleaning.
Yeah.
When there's a church service going on and me going to church, having a very heavily influenced music band in the church, because the music in Pentecostal church drives it.
Yeah.
You have praise breaks. When the preacher sings, goes like, bam! No matter, you have to connect with the, you know, for enforce that. Yeah. So it's like, everything we do is just so musical in that also is like, that play a big part in what met me. And then now, Bob Marley and Sizzla is what brought out the reggae influence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And who was listening to that?
Me.
Yeah.
I just went to find that.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was, I just love music so much after a time when there was even a little bit of internet at school. I just go online and listen to random stuff. Because we'd have like Napster and Live. Mm-hmm. What if I think at that time? Where they're just free. And we'd have like bootleg. He's a very good internet guy. So it's like, I was there, I'm a book up on like an Ainika Mose album, but it was a hip hop album. And it was like, who goes there? Jamaica, who from where? And then discover Art Stepper. And then from his hip hop album is when I discovered his reggae side, which was the world of reggae music on ya, eh? And that sampling a Welcome to Jam Rock. And so it's like, I start realizing, what? That's a reggae band. And then from him, go to Sizzla.
Yeah.
And then Bob. And then I literally started from hip hop and went back to the origin, which was reggae.
Yeah.
So, and that's how naturally I just gravitate to that, because the message, the music, everything with them stand for was when we really believe in it. Like, every job I ever have, my arm will start to riot. If it's not appearing right, if it wasn't good, like, situations, if the rug not clean, like, I don't want to stand up and talk.
Yeah.
I don't want to go wear my hair anyway and them can't stop me.
Yeah.
And so when we listen to reggae music and saw.
It represented
and,
that.
And they interviewed them and Bob and how them just not fear. Cause I'm not fear nothing, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to live my life in a fear. Like, I better God just take me. Like, why? Mm-hmm. Why me that there?
Yeah.
So, it just gravitate to me. And then dancehall, just the rawness side. Straight rawness side. It not pretty up none time. It just is what it is. It reflects society. Simple. So, them two things that just hug me so tight, bro. Like, I can't let it go, bro. I'm literally in love with it.
Yeah.
I just want to add me to it. And I'm not trying to recreate nothing. I just want to add me to it. So, yeah.
So, a lot of people don't even, because what you're saying, what age was this that you started discovering, you know, Sizzla, Bob Marley, and all these reggae artists?
I'll be around, bro. 10.
10, yeah.
I'm about 9, 10.
Yeah.
Like, right when I just, yeah, all right, so primary school, I done.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't understand that, you know, a lot of, especially if your parents, if you're Jamaican and your parents are, you know, Christian, which Jamaica is really a Christian country, a lot of people don't understand that, like, a lot of Jamaicans didn't grow up on reggae in the house, especially if their parents were, you know,
especially if their parents were not in a dance hall.
Exactly. If they're, or, you know, their parents were born in like the 60s or 50s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what was on the radio when they were growing up was American R&B and soul.
Souls, exactly.
And reggae was considered like rebellious and dirty and Rasta music. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't really, that culture wasn't embraced. That it really got embraced abroad first.
Then,
and then, you know, like after Bob Marley died, he became more popular than when he was alive in Jamaica. So a lot of people don't understand that, you know. A lot of Jamaicans didn't really grow up with reggae like that. Unless their parents were like, you know, were like what we say woke now.
Yeah,
you know?
Straight.
Yeah.
The biggest artist in Jamaica was Celine Dion, bro.
Yeah. Jamaicans love playing. Celine Dion. Yeah.
And Whitney, and that's even when the next generation came up, which was our parents, like not the people from the 60s, but like 80s, 70, late 70s, yeah. 80s, late 80s, is like, it was still R&B. It was still like, and they, it was still like, forget, what do you call them? Like, I want to get the right names, like not even like Eric and them, like D'Angelo's and the
like Neo Soul.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It was, that's what was playing. Nobody, and now it's still that. It's Drake. It's Summer Walker. It's, I guess that's just a thing.
Yeah.
Like, whatever country you're in, you always look, you always get influenced by what's outside of you. I guess.
Yeah. So, when did you start, like, making the music that you're influenced by?
Yeah, it would be around the same time, like, when I met like him. Like
2013?
Around, yeah. 2014. 2014, 2015 is when I start get, like, real, like, together and tight, and then 2016 is when I really emerged on the scene. So you can say like from 2013 to 2016 was a development, like
a
hidden development time. Like people didn't see me. I was very mysterious. People didn't know if I existed or not. Like I was just in the space when I was out of space. And then 2016, like that's when it really like super tech form, and I was like, yo, it's nowhere never.
Yeah. Speaking of 2016, you put out a project called Herb Connoisseur.
Yeah, THC.
Herb Connoisseur. Oh, the herb. Yeah, that makes sense. THC. I wasn't even thinking about it like that. And, you know, the theme was pretty constant throughout the project, but I was surprised by how each track had a different sound. And, you know, like the first track, Amino, had like a dubstep EDM kind of sound. And then, you know, there's a song called Skydive that has like a lo-fi, like boom bap, like hip-hop kind of sound. How important is it to have that sonic variety?
At that time, I just thought that was the future. I was like, I can't make music for the no, because the no is gonna change. So I always try to live in the 21st century and do something mean to it, like what Kanye said. Like that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be the one that goes over the hill, sees what's coming, and come back and be like, hey yo, this is what's coming, and be like, nah, that's lame.
Yeah,
like. I bet. Give me two years. He'll be like, yo, remember that today that I told my boy? Told you. And they just look real cool after that. But for me, it just, I don't know.
that project is just, I couldn't have told you I planned it.
Yeah.
Like, I never really sat down and wanted to have that variety. It's just being, I was born in the 90s.
Yeah.
So I have access to so much music growing up. It's mm-hmm. just all coming out. And I love so much music. I listen to every single genre, bro. Literally, I know people say that, but they don't listen to heavy metal. They're not listening to opera. They don't listen to country. Jamaica, we love country. We play Willie Nelson. We play, you know what I mean? Billy Ray. All these things play in Jamaica. You get me? So it's like, I listen to so much, it just comes out. And if I hear a vibration that connects with me, a beat, a rhythm, once I like it, I'm doing it. Because I still feel like, yes, the production is reggae, it's dancehall, but I think they leave out that the vocal is also what makes it reggae. And the experience. Because if I can go on a rap beat and be like, but do your yard still on me, I'm my broad still, I'm gonna switch up.
Yeah.
I'm gonna change myself to be them. I sing from my experience. But them I sing about lean, me sing about weed and grabber. We sing about Sprite. We sing about ting and rum.
Yeah.
Them sing about Henny or what, you know what I mean? We have our thing. So man say, if me I go do it, me can still be me. So I think the reggae vocal is very important. So I just try to use that reggae vocal everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it just turned out real cool, like Skydive. Skydive, when that song dropped, there's a set of youths in France that quit their jobs, grow them here, start grow weed, and know them I make more money than most people in the world. And just I live a life. And they're forever my fans. Like, you know what I mean? There's people that listen. Herb changed my life because my sample, a Curtis Mayfield record, and sing a reggae, like reggae over it. That song is nowhere near reggae, and that song was like the biggest underground song in Jamaica.
Yeah.
The radios were playing it. And at the time, they shouldn't even be playing with
you. Yeah.
So that project they just do what it did for do for me, like, and it helped me develop like a very early old core following. And it helped birth, like, a lot of people, I will never say it, but a lot of people know who really birthed this new wave of younger musicians, like how them dress. Like when I come out, whenever they wear gabardine, and whenever they wear mesh marine and all of that, they wear Nikes, me they see you. Me they into fashion, me they into certain things. So me I put together like a New York Harlem style upon the urban Rasta street. I'm going to see change the whole game. But it's just them like influence, isn't me? So,
I mean, it makes sense. You know, we come from the information age. You grew up in the 90s. You're going to be influenced by what's directly in front of you, which is
all that shit.
The dance hall. But also you're going to be influenced by everything from abroad that's coming in. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you could still retain whatever is culturally significant to you or culturally specific to you, but still draw inspiration from other things. Mm-hmm. That makes sense a lot.
And I also, like, I pride myself because I build a very unique network of people. Like, it's, like, so weird and eclectic and cool and from all walks of life, from the richest to, like, somebody that is not even there yet. And it's like everybody contributes to my sonic skill. Mm-hmm. Like, I love to pass the aux. I love to, like, hear what you're listening to. Where you get your music from?
Yeah.
Or, like, my friends are just cool. By the time I step in the car, they're just playing some shit.
Yeah.
Who's that? So it just adds. Everything adds, you know. I add to their palette, them add to my taste. It's just cool. So you learn a lot, too. And the reason why I said that is because a lot of people think it's cool just to be alone all the time, but you actually grow and learn more, discover more, learn more about food and fashion, and develop a real taste for things by being around people that have a taste for things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just facts. All right. The same thing when them say if you're there around people with 10 times smart, you're gonna get 10 times smart. Facts. So
that makes sense. I hear back to hip hop. I hear a strong hip hop influence in your production, and you choose to rhyme, in the songs that you choose, and you rhyme patterns on songs like Opulence. You're basically rapping, I would say.
Toasting.
Yeah. How much are you influenced by hip hop?
That's where I told you, I started like from hip hop and went back to reggae.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's where I don't go a day. Yeah. I haven't gone a day since I've discovered hip hop without listening to hip hop.
And it's like kind of like full circle, because if you know the history of hip hop, Kool Herc from Jamaica came to the Bronx.
That's one of our offspring. You know? Yeah. So it's like, I should enjoy it. Like, look how far they took it. Like, that's crazy. So, and not only that, hip hop has influenced Jamaica so much. Like, Vybz Kartel's favorite artist, he said this on interviews, is Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see it. If you really take a step, be like, the work ethic, the amount of songs they put out, they're literally almost the same kind of energy.
Even like the animation and their like their inflection.
Mm-hmm. Is everything is like, so it's just we just love it. Like I think, and there's no debate about it. Like, we embrace it, and the ones that do know where it's coming from fully embraces us too. Yeah.
What's your biggest song to date?
That's so weird to answer. Because if I go to France, it's gonna be Skydive.
Yeah.
If I go, but unanimously, I would say the biggest one, just based off of connectivity, is It Not Easy. There's this, that record, just, it came out at a time and during a time where people just was really connected to that song. Like, I got thousands of messages just like how it helped or saved somebody's life, or like make them feel like, as you said before, and I want to go back to it, it's never belittling when you're making somebody know they're not alone in struggles.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? That's why I made the song. I wanted you to know that it's not just you alone. If I'm saying it not easy, and you probably looking at me and like, probably I have it better than you, then what? That should make you feel like, damn, if that money I say it not easy, then maybe I shouldn't be pressuring myself as much, because everybody's going through that. So, That's what that song was for. It's like, yo, let's share what we're going through with each other. Like, that song was like a therapy session. It's like, all right, my landlord didn't forget pay the light bill. I put it all in the song, and everybody just relate to every line in the song, because I made it so real.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I make it home this evening. That's the line I get the compliment. Like, I get like messages about the most. Like, I pray I make it home this evening. Like, you really do these days. Like, you don't know what's going to happen sometimes.
Yeah.
So the song is just real. So that's why I think it's the biggest one. Yeah.
I want to go back to 2016 when you dropped, THC, the Herb Connoisseur. That was like a year after Apple Music came out. And I remember that Apple Music wasn't even available in Jamaica until, it wasn't even available till 2020,
yeah,
I believe. So, that's on streaming. How did you even go about the recording process for that project? You know, like, what kind of studios did you record in?
Oh, this is going to be good for, like, if any young musicians listening. So that project was recorded in bathrooms. Like, when I would get a radio interview.
Yeah.
I would, like, steal, like, 30 minutes. at one of the rooms that's not using them, just record or go in the bathroom. I was homeless at the time, so I was sleeping at a radio station, and they didn't know. I was working there, internship vibes.
Yeah.
But I used to come back in every night and sleep there, and then have a deal with the security guard. And if I ever, I bring over a girl, I bring one for him too. And, I would sleep there. Me and my virgin and would sleep there every day for months, bro. Like, homeless, and just I record. The only studio I did do, not Skydive, but only song I did do off the project in a studio was at Equinox Studio. They're a production team in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
They were really big in the early 2000s, or mid, like that part with Idonia and those people. And he just rated me and was like, yo, come record for free what you need for the, and I just finished up like whatever I had left there. But most of that project was done with no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
We mixed it, we mastered it. We made the artwork. Mm-hmm. I shot all the videos for it, like, with just a small team. And just, like, people just, I just have a way of, like, I don't know, the music does have a way of making people believe in them.
Yeah.
You know? Like, so I just do it and it's like, yo, this is bad, we're gonna do it, we'll go press and do this and we'll just do it.
Yeah.
One of them I think I shot on like an iPhone 6, the video or something. Yeah. Like that. Edit it, put it up.
Yeah, it's amazing what you could do. You'd be surprised what you can do with a small team. And you know, listening to that project, no one would think that it was recorded in the way it was recorded. So,
but yeah, I listen to it, I cringe a little bit.
Yeah. But that's how you are when you create things. You know, you always try to like edit in your head, like after it comes out.
Yeah.
What could have been? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's definitely understandable. A lot of creatives think like that. Jamaica has contributed, you know, so much to music for over 50 plus years now, to the point where a new artist is born every day. How do you separate yourself musically from the rest in a small island nation where, you know, there's so many artists in your genre?
You know, so even though there's like tons of musicians, it's a island filled with character and energy and emotion. So everyone you can find can do anything in Jamaica. So it's not even just music. You can put a man in front of a camera and make you the best acting he ever seen. And he's never done acting in his life. So just that are the vibe of Jamaica, is this natural character. But I will say that the culture in the music scene is more big fish in a small pond kind of vibe. So you can easily stand out if you just work on the things that will make you stand out.
Yeah.
Just being a great artist. That's just all this. Like, it never really affect me who else was in the space. It was just like, yo, I'm not even doing nothing with Unado anyway. So it's going to cut through. That's how I just thought initially. Like, I was just like, yeah, everybody will do that. But this shit is kind of weird. Uh-huh. It might just, you know, might just cut through. So, and then the first project really was THC, and it really cut through. Weird. I had big artists pulling up at the studio at 3 a.m. in the morning just trying to find out, like, what are you doing? Like, and I had to get somebody's studio to make it look like I was at the studio. And, you know, you create the first, you know what I mean? So it's like Jamaica is not a hard space to get your music out and connect and perform. And once people see you a few times and they see that, oh yeah, this is a career, you're doing it, you're improving, you're growing, you'll get certain opportunities. Yeah. Like, now in the grand scheme of the world of music, I think that's where it gets hard, because now we have 100,000 songs coming out a day.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, with streaming.
We already have over 130 something million songs out already this year. And 40 million of them have zero plays.
Wow.
Zero plays. You get what I'm saying? So
yeah,
we're just in a time now where it's like, that's why I said I woke up this morning with that pressure. Because I'm like, I'm not even, most of the times when I get angry or upset or feel sad, it's never just for me alone.
Yeah.
It's like I literally look at my genre and be like, man, if I'm going through this, what are my peers who aren't doing as well as a me or a Leela or a Coffee, like, what are they doing? How are they eating? What are they? How are they surviving? How are they moving? You have people in Jamaica that have some of the most beautiful music that has never toured in their entire life. And you have people that get up and do a little gimmick.
Yeah.
And make $40 million.
Yeah.
So it's like, it makes you have to wonder, like, what is it? And then when you look at the bigger world, because I'm over here and I have to, what I'm doing provides hope in Jamaica, you know? Yeah. So I have to make it work. I have to keep up and have the energy up. But there are times when I have to sit down and be like, everybody ain't going to be able to go through this, like, and be able to.
Everybody's not going to make it.
Night. You know what I mean? And it makes me very sad, because there are people that are even more talented than I am. That one time in music, you could work to a point and make enough money and could pull somebody up faster. Now, not even just music, in life, it takes so much for you to get to a point. It's so hard to pull somebody else up. And now I fully understand now why the ones that I looked up to before was like, why are they not helping? Now I see. Because it takes so much for them to survive and their family and to sustain the lifestyle that they live.
So for them to bring you up, you know, it takes their resources, right? And that's taken and away from their right themselves and their family. Yeah.
Bro, resources are very limited right now. And it's not just for music. I'm talking life. Healthy food is expensive and limited. Good water is expensive and limited. It's in bottles. It's not running out of your pipe.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, good everything is just hard. So I just really want, like, the space to grow and continue to grow. And I don't want people to stop putting out music. Yeah, but I just don't want 100,000 people feeling like this is the escape. Because you're kind of making it a little bit hard for the ones that really do this.
Yeah.
Everybody that just gets up on this. Because I think music is the only art form that's treated like that. You just think like you can just get up and do it.
You don't, because you see it so much. So you,
you feel like, oh, I can be an artist. Like, you treat it with such low respect. Like, you wouldn't just get up and say you'll be a videographer. You know you have to learn that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't just get up and say, I'm going to paint art. And even though art is subjective and any painting can do anything, it still takes practice and skill. But nowadays, you could just take a simple person that has a viral video, put them in studio with Hit Boy or somebody.
Yeah.
And you get a Hit Boy. And that's it. And then everybody just feel like, oh, I saw it work.
Yeah.
And then when that fades out, they find the next one. And when that fades out, and then all of the good music is clumped up over there, suffocating and dying out. So it's just rough.
Yeah.
So it's not rough per se in Jamaica. Because in Jamaica, we have systems like dubs where you could... No other genre has dubs, where you can make an income stream off of making a personalized version of the track for someone.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like, so a sound system wants to do a clash, you make a clash version for him. A girl wants it for her birthday party, but like, make a birthday.
Yeah, that's
birthday.
A hustle for
that's
sure.
That's a hustle. Yeah. You know what I mean? We got that. And it's a couple other things, and it's a small genre. So, you know what I mean? Once you make a name, you're guaranteed to go all those shows. You know? So.
It's definitely a genre that promotes just having that. It's like there's so many hustles within a genre, and a lot of like independent music pioneers in the genre as well.
They don't talk about it though.
Yeah,
when you look at it, like, yes, some of them were signed, but you have to look at it. Beanie Man hasn't been signed for a long time.
Yeah,
Bounty Killer hasn't been signed for.
There's only a handful that are signed to major labels in America.
Oh, facts.
Yeah,
and if you look at the Jamaican artists, you're like, man, 4, 5, 6 Bimmers, nice house, smoking weed every day, drinking Hennessy every day. You have to look at it like, not all of them, but there's a lot more independent Jamaican artists from a certain generation that are still wealthy, even to this day. So you have to be like, ah, oh, that's kind of fire. And if you look at kind of majority of, after a while, the ones that kind of break in pop, or they just fade.